Tonight, God's Word comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Mark 6. We're going to begin reading at verse 30 of this chapter and then read through the end of chapter 6. Mark 6, beginning at verse 30. What we hear now is God's Word. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he was, in the villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored that he might touch even the fringe, that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we look at two very familiar stories in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 and the story of Jesus walking on the water. And I thought about taking each of these stories separately and looking at them separately, but if you notice, Mark himself connects these two stories together. They not only follow one upon the other, but at the end of the story of Jesus walking on the water, he says in verse 52, they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Both of these stories Mark gives us to serve the same purpose. They both want to teach the same lesson. That is, that Jesus is able to provide for the needs of his people, whatever those needs might be. Whatever the circumstances might be, Jesus is able to provide. A lesson not only for the disciples, but a lesson, a reminder for us as well. As we live in various situations and various circumstances in life, God, in all of those circumstances, is able by his power to provide for your needs. He can care for you. We see that Jesus, first of all, meets the immediate need of the apostles. He had sent them out. We read that out at the end of verse 12 and 13. They went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. And now in verse 30, the apostles return. And they come back and they tell Jesus all about what had happened. And they were so busy in the work of the ministry that they didn't even have time to eat. So Jesus says, come away. Come away and take a time of rest. Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. He first of all has concern for his apostles, that their spiritual need be met. They had been ministering a day and night, it seems, unable even to find time for a snack. And Jesus says, come away and rest. And that's exactly what they do. They get into the boat and they go off to a desolate place by themselves. But as they go, and as they cross the sea, the Sea of Galilee is not a very big sea. You can actually look, and the people on the shore could watch and see them going. And the people wanted more. They did not want to let them get away. And so they could see Jesus and the disciples getting in the boat and heading off into the sea, and they could watch, and they knew where they were going. So the people on land went around and met them when the boat docked. How does Jesus respond to that? Verse 34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them. They were so urgent. They were so desirous of spending time with Jesus and with the disciples, that although his plan is to take the disciples away, when he sees the crowd and their urgency to be with him, his heart is filled with compassion. Because, Mark says, they were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed someone to guide them. They needed someone to care for them. They needed someone to tend them. And Jesus would not turn them away. When they sought him out, he would not say, no time for you. And we read, and he began to teach them many things. Remember, children, that was his main ministry. Jesus came to teach. Oh, he would do all these other things too. We read that at the end of the chapter, how he would heal the sick, and they would bring the sick to him, and they would touch the garments. But his main focus was to teach the coming of the kingdom of God. And Jesus sees the crowd, and he is filled with compassion, and he begins to teach them. He cared for their spiritual needs. They desired to be with him. They desired to learn from him. And he would not turn them out. But he welcomes them, and he begins to teach. He met the need of the people. Not only of the apostles, but he met the need of the people who desired more from Jesus. In his compassion, he cares for them. And he continues to teach. And time goes on. And it's getting later in the day. Verse 35, and when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away that they can go and buy some food for themselves. You see, it's not just today that people watch their watches during the sermon. The disciples were doing that, checking the sun, watching it go down. It's getting late, Jesus. How long are you going to go? And they say, Jesus, you've been teaching now for a good amount of time. It's time to send them away. Jesus is not uncaring about this physical need. He was providing for their spiritual needs in the teaching he was giving. But he is just as concerned for their physical needs, for this regular, ordinary thing. They had to have some food. They needed to find some bread. They had something to eat. Jesus is not unconcerned about the regular, ordinary needs of life. I think sometimes we can fall into the trap of thinking, well, with regard to our spiritual life, Jesus is very concerned. He's concerned about our Bible reading. He's concerned about our prayer life. He's concerned about the way that we relate to Him, the way that we relate to our families. But about our basic needs, well, that's not worth bothering Jesus with. The need for bread, the need for something to eat. But Jesus teaches here, He is concerned about your basic needs. He is concerned about providing the basics of life for us. There is nothing that we cannot bring to Him in prayer. If we are concerned about the basic needs of life, how are we going to make the car payment this month? That's not outside the concern of Jesus. He has compassion. He's concerned about that. We don't know how we're going to put food on the table. It's the end of the month and the cupboard is empty. Jesus is concerned about that. Not only our spiritual needs, but our very real, ordinary, normal, everyday needs. And He is able to provide for them as well. He provides food for those who are hungry. In the second story, the related story, Jesus there provides not food for the people, but He provides safety. They are out on the water. They are in the midst of a storm. The disciples are straining at the oars to get across. And Jesus goes and speaks with them. Jesus goes and shows Himself to them. And when the evening came, 47, when the evening came, the boat was on the sea, He was low on the land, and He saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. It was about the fourth watch of the night. He came walking on the sea. Jesus goes out to meet their need. The very real physical need of safety. You know, we often pray for that when someone's going to travel. We prayed for our young people when they travel. We pray for traveling mercies for them. The reason we pray for that is because we believe God can answer that prayer. That's not just a nice way of wishing someone a good trip. Hope you have traveling mercies. It's a prayer that God be merciful to them in their travels because God is able to answer that prayer for us. He is able to provide for the immediate, real needs of our lives. The needs for food, the needs for safety. God is there. Jesus is powerful to provide for His people. And often He does that provision when we come to realize how unable we are to provide. Often when we think things are going fine and we can take care of ourselves, we forget it is only because of Jesus we can do anything. We have to recognize our own inability that we might see His great provision. In the story of the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples say, "It's getting late. Send them away so they can buy themselves something to eat." And He answered to them, "You give them something to eat." Imagine that, kids. 5,000 people. And the disciples see the people are getting hungry. It's getting late. They're in a desolate place. There's no grocery store around. Time to send them away. Jesus, time to send them away. And Jesus looks at them and says, you provide for them. You give them something. And the disciples are overwhelmed. They throw up their hands. How is that possible? Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them all? The equivalent is about, shall we take 8 months' worth of wages? This is no small amount. This is tens of thousands of dollars. Shall we spend that kind of money to feed this one crowd, even if we had it? Even if there were stores? It's impossible. It's impossible for us to meet this need. We simply don't have anything. Jesus, what are you talking about? You go feed them. And it is when they realize their inability that Jesus begins to act. He asked them first a question. Verse 38, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And they come back with the answer, we have 5 loaves and we have 2 fish. And with those 5 loaves and those 2 fish, even still the disciples must say, what good is this? This is nothing. Nothing here for a crowd of 5,000. Kids, if I had 5 loaves tonight, 5 loaves of bread up here, it might make a sandwich for everybody in this room. But imagine 5,000 people and 5 loaves and 2 fish. And yet Jesus takes that small amount, and with that, he will provide. They saw they couldn't do it. It was beyond their power. All they had was 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus has the people sit down. He has them sit down in companies of 50s and of 100s. They sit down on the green grass. And even by doing that, I can imagine the disciples are still nervous because that presumes he's going to do something. They still only see 5 loaves. Jesus says, sit down for dinner. The foolishness. Jesus, have them sit down? You think we can take care of 5,000 people with these 5 loaves, with these 2 fish? It's impossible. And yet Jesus takes the small amount and he blesses it and begins to break the loaves. And he breaks and he breaks and he breaks and he breaks. And he fills up basket after basket after basket of food. What the disciples thought was impossible is nothing for Jesus. He simply breaks the bread and continues to break. Jesus is able to provide our needs. Even when we look around this and say, this doesn't make sense. This is impossible. How can this be? Jesus is more powerful than our imagination. He takes the small, he takes the inadequate, and he uses it for his purpose. And notice he includes the disciples in the miracle. He has them bring the food out. They need to learn they can put their trust in Jesus. Even when things seem impossible, he is able to provide for his people. And the disciples must have walked around mouths open as they're bringing this food out to 5,000 people, bread and fish for everyone. You see, the disciples were looking at what they didn't have. We don't have 200 denarii. Jesus looked at what they did have. And that small amount offered in faith and blessed by him was enough to care for the multitude. Jesus takes the little and blesses it for the many. The same lesson is true in the storm. Their immediate need was safety. We read that they were out on the water at verse 47. When evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone in the land, and he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. They are straining at the oars. And this is something that they should have been good at. These were fishermen. They knew how to handle a boat. They knew how to be on the water. And yet they leave in the evening, and now it's the fourth watch, about 3 or so in the morning. It shouldn't take that long to get across the lake. And no matter what they did, they couldn't seem to outrun the storm. They couldn't save themselves. For that, it would take Jesus. And Jesus, seeing that need, he's on the mountain, he's praying, he can see what's going on. Again, the lake is not that big. He can see the storm, he can see them straining. And he goes out and speaks to them. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And he meets their need. They were fishermen struggling against the water, waves slapping on the boat. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. He cares for our physical needs. He cares for our spiritual needs. He cares about the anxiety that we hold about the future or about what's going to happen tomorrow in our life or whatever it might be. He cares about those things. And he says, don't be afraid. It is I. I am in control. What I find interesting about this story of Jesus walking on the water to the disciples is how it begins. Verse 45. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. They were not there because of any foolishness on their part. They were not there because of any error on their part. They were out in the storm because Jesus sent them there. He made them go out on the boat, full well knowing what would happen, that he might demonstrate his power to them. That they might hear those words of comfort, do not be afraid. There are times we wonder, why is this happening to me? What have I done that this difficulty is overcoming me? And we say, God, don't you care? Aren't you watching? Jesus is on the shore, watching and praying. And he, for his people, will come and give the blessing of peace. Do not be afraid. I know what you're going through. I sent you there that you might learn to trust me. Jesus meets the need of an impossible situation in light of their complete inability. What a picture. What a picture of our own salvation. That need which we could not meet, being righteous before God. That need which we could not meet, atoning for our own sins. And when we recognize the absolute inability, we know the power of Jesus. That he is not unconcerned, that he is not unable, but that he is powerful to provide for the needs of his people. If you tonight are still trying to cover up your own sin, make yourself look good to God, stop and recognize the inability. We can't do it. We're not able to do it. But we know someone who is. Jesus Christ and his righteousness given to each and every one of his people. Oh, he is able to provide our needs. And we see in this story that Jesus' provision, as we talked about this morning, is an abundant provision. They They, in the feeding of the 5,000, sat down in their companies, and the disciples began to bring the bread and the fish out to them. And somehow in my mind, maybe it was as a child, I got this image in my mind, I almost pictured it like communion. That there's this big old basket of bread, and people sitting down in rows, and everybody takes one little piece and goes down the row. That's not what the story says. They sent the baskets out. Verse 42, and they all ate and were satisfied. They were not given one little piece of bread and one little piece of fish. But they ate as much as they wanted, and they were full. Full on 5 loaves and 2 fish. The abundant provision of Jesus. He fully met their needs. He fully met everything that they required. And in fact, so much that they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish afterwards. The abundant, the overabundant provision of Jesus for His people. He does not ask us to do a little bit in our salvation. He does not ask us to do a little bit to help Him out. But He does everything. All of it, 100%, providing abundantly for all of our needs that we have, washing us, not partially, but completely with His blood, that we might be seen as righteous before God. Oh, His abundant provision for His people. In the walking on the water, the sailors are struggling against the water, and they see Jesus there, and He walks there, near them, and He speaks to them, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And then what happens? He gets in the boat with them. The presence of Jesus in that time of adversity. And with Jesus there, the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. They did not understand yet Jesus is able to provide for all the needs of His people. He's able to provide the really real needs, the immediate needs. Not just the spiritual life, but their most basic needs in life as well. And He provides abundantly. He gives His presence to the disciples. And the water becomes calm, and the wind ceases. They did not yet understand about the loaves. I said that these are two very familiar stories in the life and ministry of Christ. Stories that many of us have heard since we were children growing up. Stories of the feeding of the 5,000. Stories of Jesus walking on the water. We have heard the story. We know the story. Do we understand the story? Do you know that He is able to meet all your needs? The disciples were there. They saw it. They saw the miracle. But still did not understand. We have heard the story. Read the story. Thought about the story. Do you understand? Jesus is able. He is powerful. He is willing to provide for the needs of each and every one of His people. Oh, the greatest need we have? The need for salvation. The need to be washed and cleansed. But that is not where His care ends. His care continues to provide for all the needs of life as well. If you are anxious, if you are worried, if you are wondering, learn the lesson of the loaves. Let's pray together. Lord our God, as we read Your word and read about the slowness of heart of the disciples, it's easy for us to point a finger at them. And yet we know how slow we are, so often, to truly understand Your care for us, to truly understand Your power and Your glory and Your majesty. Oh, Lord God, You are a good God, You are a loving God, and You will care for us. You will care for us even if it means sending us into the storm. For there we are not outside of your presence, but there we have your presence also with us. And may that calm our hearts and still the waves. Lord God, help us to trust you more and more every day, knowing that you will not leave your people. You will not reject us, but you will continue to watch over and to provide for all of our needs. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.